Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night we spoke a little bit about the fact that in fulfillment of the holy prophecies of the Old Testament, Christ was born exactly where he was supposed to be born, exactly when he was supposed to be born. We also see the faithfulness and the power of God in action by making use of the decree of Caesar Augustus as the means by which he got Jesus to be in Bethlehem born. And therefore, we see the power, the gracious power of God, which points to Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whom even Caesar in his power must serve. And this presents before us a wonder. Nothing looks more helpless and charming as a baby. And yet, that baby was the Son of the living God. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, outside the city there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, the interesting thing about the shepherds is the Bible doesn't tell us anything about them in particular other than they were on duty and they were up. All right? The shepherds are not described as particularly pious, and they are not described as particularly wicked. All right? So the question, out of all the people that the angel of the Lord could have announced the birth to, why did he pick them? And of course, the answer to that is, it's all of grace. The shepherds in the story, they are us. All right, as we gather together in the church and we hear this blessed word of the gospel, the shepherds in the story stand in for all Christians everywhere. And it is to them that the gospel comes, not as a reward for piety, not as an incentive to repent, but as a sheer gift of God's grace. And yes, of course, it does incentivize us to repent and believe. But the point is that if you're looking for a reason, why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? Because it's a gift. God could have come to anybody, but he came to the shepherds without respect of persons, just as he comes to you with his grace and with his blessing. So the angel comes and basically preaches the gospel that the church preaches throughout the world. Unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All right, so what he's saying is that the promises that God gave to the prophets have been realized and fulfilled in the birth of the Son of God in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And this news of the birth of the Messiah is glad tidings of great joy, which is for all people. Now, it's an angel surrounded by the glory of the Lord. But it's the same work that the church and its ministers do all the time. Preaching to the world of sinners that need a salvation that they don't even know they need. The church preaches, unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then the angel says, and this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, it's not the swaddling clothes that are the sign, because every baby was dressed in swaddling clothes, all right? But it was the manger. You know, I can guarantee you that there was only one baby lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And when the shepherds found that baby, they found the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but Dr. Luther loved the picture of Jesus lying in a manger. And he always loved to compare it to the fact that Christ is cradled in the Holy Scriptures. And so just as the shepherds went to Bethlehem and saw Jesus lying in the manger, so it is when we gather around the Word and Sacrament, that is where we see Jesus with the eyes of faith. And one day when he comes again to judge the quick and the dead, we will see him with the glorified eyes of full consummative experience. All right, so after the angel gives this message, the heavenly host says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The birth of Jesus brings glory to God because it shows God's faithfulness, it shows his power, and it shows his grace and mercy. Right? And the birth of Jesus on earth brings peace and goodwill toward men. Peace meaning peace with God. All right? As sinners, we by nature stand under the condemnation of God's law. And because of that, we stand under the wrath of God, and we are liable to eternal judgment and punishment. But Christ's coming into the world is a coming that gives us peace with God, because through the redemption in Christ, our sins are forgiven and our condemnation is stayed, and we are received into the merciful family of God, and God smiles upon us. And that's what the word goodwill has to say. Goodwill toward men is God's gracious disposition towards sinners for the sake of Jesus Christ. All right, so finally, the whole thing is over. And the shepherds are standing there in the field looking at one another like, did I dream that or did you see what I saw? And they realized that they had seen each one of them had seen what they had seen. And they said, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Do you notice the words of faith in this passage? They don't say, "Let's go into Bethlehem and check this out and see if this is true." All right? They don't have hearts doubting. Now, you might be tempted to say that, well, I mean, if an angel appeared to me and told me the gospel, it would be a lot more impressive than listening to it from a regular earthly pastor. You might say that, but the word is the same and carries the same authority. And just as the word of the gospel preached by the holy angel of God worked faith in the hearts of the shepherds, so the word of the gospel preached commonly in the churches of Christ works faith, sustains faith, strengthens faith, and comforts hearts. So they say, with words just bristling with faith, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. They believe the word. It has come to pass. Let's go see it, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They know it was the angel of the Lord, and they are sure that they're going to see it exactly as the angel described it. And they came with haste. All right? Now, the coming of the shepherds to Bethlehem to gather with Mary and Joseph around the manger and to see the Christ. This is a wonderful picture for us of the Christian church gathering around the word and sacraments to be strengthened in our faith. Now, the sign of the manger is important, right? What more lowly thing could happen than that a baby would have to be laid in a manger? You know, the word manger has been crusted over with sentimental associations. The Christmas story, you know, has over the centuries become something that when you hear things, you don't really notice so much what's actually being said because of the glitter, because of the tinsel and the lights that surround so many Christmassy things. But the manger was a feeding trough. And so when Jesus was born, he was born in such lowliness and such obscurity that the only place to lay him down for sleep was in a feeding trough for animals. And yet, it was the will of God and the will of the Lord Jesus to so humble himself and by the sign of the manger encourage us to believe that God comes down to us fully where we are with his gifts of saving grace, so that we take heart when we see Jesus in a manger, just as we take heart when we see Jesus extended upon the cross. Now, they come and they see, they gather just like the church gathers. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They told everybody that they could about Jesus and about the message of the gospel, just as we, the Christian church, are in support of and do our part in the extension of the kingdom of grace by the preaching of the gospel. And then we learn a little bit about the people who heard the witness of the shepherds. And it says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, wondering is a kind of a non-committal word. All right? You know how it is in your life. Most people that you communicate the Christian faith to, they might give you a little bit of a listen, but they're going to remain kind of arm's length and non-committal. For the most part, most people in the world prefer to remain in sin and unbelief. They do not want the salvation that Jesus brings, and therefore they will work double time to make sure that they are not gathered in. See, the Holy Ghost is always gathering people wherever God's word is preached, but there are so many who hear that hold it at arm's length. Now, the shepherd's message was impressive. We saw the angel of the Lord. He told us the Messiah has come. We saw the babe lying in a manger. And so people had to wonder, You know, it's like when the twofers come to church on Christmas Eve and on Easter Sunday, and they hear for two times in a year the Word of God preached to them clearly, unambiguously, and they are impressed. Sometimes they're even nervous. Sometimes you can even see the look on their face, get me out of here, all right? But they know they've heard something, all right? They don't know what it is because, you know, people who come to church on Christmas and Easter, you could say this positively, at least they showed up for two times in a year. But the reason they're not here for the rest of the year is because they have unbelieving hearts. Right? We have to accept that and understand that. You don't absent yourself from the public worship of the Holy Christian Church in a perpetual way when you have a heart filled with faith in Jesus. The faith in Jesus draws you and moves you to come where the Word of God and the sacraments are. And so, the shepherds preached the word. Many people who heard it wondered. Some wondered in faith. Others wondered in unbelief. They knew they heard something and they knew it was impressive, but they didn't know quite what it was or what to make of it. But on the other hand, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary hears the testimony just as she heard the voice of the angel Gabriel and just as she saw everything work out exactly as the angel said that it would. And Mary, in faith, shows us Christians how we are to deal with God's word. We are to keep all these things and ponder them in our heart. Now, the last thing that we need to talk about this morning is that after the whole thing is over, just like when church is over, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Where did they return to? They returned to the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They didn't go out and open a Christian bookstore in Bethlehem. All right? They did not begin to operate a Christian retreat center in the Catskills. All right? They did not form some kind of holy society where they could separate themselves from the world and from the drudgery of ordinary daily life. They went back to their proper vocation, just as we do. You know, every Sunday, though we say in the Nicene Creed, Lord, not the Nicene Creed, but the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. That's the way we close out our Holy Communion service. In other words, what we're saying is, now I can die in peace because I've seen the fulfillment of your word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. I can die now. And after we say that, we go home and resume our ordinary daily life. But we go home understanding that our holy vocation is lived out in the ordinariness of our daily vocations as God has placed us in the world. And it is in our proper vocations, in our daily callings, as husbands, wives, parents, children, workers, pastors, whatever you have it, it is in that that God gives us the arena for our witness to Christ. So they go back to the hillsides to keep over, watch over their flock by night, but they do so glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen as it was told to them. And so it is that we, as we gather together and are fortified by the Lord who comes to us with his gifts of grace, we then go back to our daily vocations, but we go back glorifying and praising God for the things that have been given to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.